Well, I don't know. It's a film I think is a good film. I saw it, I think, second or third time recently, called Double Jeopardy. Now, the title is a legal one, where a person cannot be legitimately tried for the same crime unless there's fresh evidence. In other words, here's Caustic Clive. You don't like him. You're very suspicious of him. And you accuse him of a crime, and it goes to court, and the judge and jury throw the case out. They say there's no evidence. You can't keep, because of double jeopardy, you can't keep dragging him back into court because you don't like him or because you have a hunch that he is guilty, unless there is fresh evidence. And my text is in the reading, Colossians 2, in verse 13. He, the Lord in Christ, he forgave us all our sins. Now, it's a great text because forgiveness is a tremendous thing. I remember the famous athlete Steve Ovette. He won Olympic medals, 800 meters and 1500 meters. He had a rift with his mother. And I read in the paper that his mother was dying and he had refused to go and see her. There was no way that he was going to forgive her, which is a terrible thing, isn't it? But it shows again what a massive thing forgiveness is. But often I've heard even Christians get very confused about what forgiveness is and speak in either a trite manner or a very kind of sentimental way. I remember talking to a lady, we call her Sally, and she was talking about a particular person, and she said, well, it's eating me up, so I have to forgive him. I was just thinking, well, hang on. So you're telling him you've forgiven him for purely selfish reasons. And we need to ask a question, but is he forgiven though? Or is it just, he's eating you up, so you've got to tell him that he's forgiven, but is he forgiven? I remember going to a Christian school many years ago, a bunch of teenagers there. And they'd been badly taught, sadly, in this Christian school. And I remember that they got my attention because they said, everybody in the land, in Wales, like everybody in Wales is forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. Well, that really got my attention. They said, oh. And then they said, oh, but hang on. They said, sir, but we haven't finished yet. Everybody is forgiven because Jesus died on the cross, but not everybody is going to go to heaven. So I said, well, this is even worse now. So you've got people who are forgiven, but for some reason, even though God's forgiven them, he won't let them into heaven. Well, yes. I said, well, why can't they go to heaven? Oh, because they haven't trusted Jesus. I said, what's the point in trusting Jesus? What have they got to gain? Oh, they can't go to heaven otherwise. And I was thinking, this is a shambles. Then there was a guy, a lovely guy, actually, preaching, and he gave this very common thing I've heard many, many times, that as Jesus died on the cross, his death was sufficient to forgive everybody, but only efficient for some. I don't know what you think of that. If we ever do have discussions afterwards, perhaps you'd like to think about it. It's a very popular slogan. Is it true, though? And I just want to look at the logic or lack of it in those illustrations, when we come to a verse, he forgave us all our sins. Now, some of you will remember the story of a fellow I met in Lampeter University. He was a retired public school teacher. He was doing a PhD in architecture or something. And we got into a conversation because he'd come to church for the first time in his life. He was in his late 50s, and we had a lovely chat there. And then I said, so what do you believe then? And he said, oh, I believe a man called Pelagius. Have you heard of him? Yes. I said, I have. Pelagius said you could choose good or choose bad anytime you like. Yes, that's right, he said. I said, what did you used to teach? History. Right. Let me ask you this then. If you believe that, like Pelagius, we could choose good or bad anytime we like, why is the whole of human history written in blood and tears then? Ah, I said, now there's my problem, see? My theory doesn't hold in practice. I just thought, here's an intelligent man telling me that he believes something that he knows is not true in practice. I mean, we don't live in a theoretical world, do we? We live in a real world, a world of kindness and cruelty, A world where we can make bandages and bombs. That's the world we live in, a real world. Now, I hope you can see the lack of logic in that fella's belief system. But he says, I believe this, we can choose good or bad, and yet I know actually human history is written in blood and tears. See, what's our text? He, God in Christ, forgave us all our sins. I believe this is one of the most glorious truths in the whole of the Bible. It's transformed my life, this text has. But of course, we get confused about forgiveness, even people in the church, even professing Christians, because we talk about it in such a waffly and vague way. For instance, here's Harry, okay? He's in work, he has a work colleague, Nick. And Harry is talking to his mates in work, his colleagues, and Harry's obviously hurt about something. And somebody says, what's the matter? Oh, Nick has been nasty to me, he says. Nick has been nasty. And every day, now all week, Harry's complaining about how nasty Nick was. He's gone on and on about it all the time because Harry is hurt. And then on a Friday afternoon, it just so happens that Nick is going down the corridor and he bumps into Harry. He says, oh, Harry, sorry about that earlier, mate. And you know what Harry says? Don't mention it. And some of Harry's mates are saying, what did you say, Harry? Don't mention it. All you've done is whinge about it all week. You've harped on about it all week. And now he just says, sorry about that, mate. And you say, don't mention it. Are you significantly better than Harry? Are you? This is what we like, isn't it? See, when it comes to Almighty God and me, what's the situation between Almighty God and me by nature? We're at war. I'm at war with him. He is furious with me. John Bunyan, 17th century, poor labourer who learnt a skill of mending pots and pans. He got married. All she brought, she was as dirt poor as he was. All she brought were two things that her father had given her, two books, The Plain Man's Way to Heaven and Practical Piety. That's all she had. And Bunyan had no interest in either, so the two gifts from the father were no good to him. But they got married, they had a child, first child was born blind. But this hit Bunyan for six. It set him on a path. Now, he was going to find out meaning of life and purpose. What's it all about? He started going to church. He enjoyed, in inverted commas, he enjoyed church. But years later, he got talking to four women who were Christians, and he listened to their conversation. That's what attracted. He heard them talking to each other first, and so he came over to talk. They were having fellowship. And he, as he listened to them and spoke to them, he realized whatever they had, he didn't have it. Whatever it was, and he wasn't sure what it was, he knew he didn't have it. And sometime later, he was converted. He didn't know when he'd been converted. He just realized sometime later that something had happened to him. And he realized this, that in all his church going, though he enjoyed it, he had had no sense of his sin at all. Absolutely no sense of his sin. Have you got a sense of your sin? That sin has ruined you, body and soul, that you were contaminated from within before you say or do anything. You know, Bunyan would say later, there's enough sin in one of my prayers to damn the whole world. Well, that's an extraordinary thing to say, isn't it? It's a massive thing to say. Can you say it honestly about yourself? Because until you do, forgiveness will not be a very big deal. Forgiveness will be just like Harry. Oh, don't mention it. That's what it'll be like. You know, I read at the end of Matthew's gospel, just this week, in fact, where Jesus is telling the disciples that the blood of his covenant will be poured out for the forgiveness of their sins. Just thinking, so I don't think they got it then. The disciples, they didn't seem to understand it. But what is Jesus saying? There's a huge cost to me, my being forgiven then. The blood of the Son of God must be poured out. That's a million miles away from don't mention it. Isn't it? The act of forgiving me, God promises as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I'd remove my sin. Now, how far is the east from the west? We can calculate how far the North Pole is from the south. But how far is the east from the west? Well, there is no pole, east and west. So they've got an infinite distance that God is prepared to remove my sin from his sight. And when he forgives me, all my sins, they are gone forever. Now, that's enough for a revolution in your life. That is just tremendous. There's a film on this week. I've seen it before. I don't think it's a particularly great film, but there's a great speech in it. Liam Neeson makes this speech because his daughter's been kidnapped. He warns this fellow on the telephone that if you give my daughter back now, that'll be the end of it. But if you don't, I have a particular set of skills, says Liam Neeson. In other words, I'll be able to track you down. Well, regarding my sin, Jesus has a particular set of skills that only he has. Only he can take away my guilt. Only he can actually declare, it is finished. See, no wonder the Roman Catholic Church, when Luther started promoting this, no wonder the Roman Catholic Church accused him of cheap grace. Wonderfully, Luther's response was, it's not cheap, it's free. Free. It cost me nothing, cost Jesus his life poured out, which is tremendous news, but only if you've seen your guilt. If you haven't seen your guilt, it's all right. You know, I've visited a number of people in prison over the years, a number of people who profess faith as well were in prison. There was one guy, and every time I addressed his guilt, he would change the subject. And I realized he'd gone through Christianity Explored or whatever it was, and he was using Jesus as a stepladder to boost his own self-esteem. That's all it was. Let me just ask you, have you seen your guilt? Have you? I remember a fella years ago telling me that he traded a car in for a bigger car. He wanted a tow caravan, so he traded his car in. And then a few weeks later, he had a very angry phone call from the motor auctions place to say, you cannot sell this car. You've traded in. You cannot do that because there's still a finance agreement on it. You haven't paid. And until you have paid, the car cannot legally be sold. Until you've paid your arrears, until you've paid your debt, this car is not free for you to sell. And regarding when we come to our debt, our sin, unless it's paid, we're not free. You know, people walking about in and out of church and all over the place, and it doesn't bother them. They sleep soundly at night, but actually they still drag in their debt with them, if only they realized it. You know, when we come to the cross of Jesus, we've got a vertical and a horizontal, and the theologians like to think of the vertical as propitiation, God punishing his son, and the horizontal as expiation, out, taking the sins away. My sin is removed once for all. Again, two fellows I knew, we'll call them Ed and Ted, okay? Ed, I worked with, he was a chapel goer. After I became a Christian, he came up to me and he put his arm around me. He said, let's have a chat, Al, Look, they're all making fun of you in the staff room, man. As soon as you leave, they're all laughing at you. I know, I said, I know. Well, come on, man, you're over the top, man, And I remember saying to him, hang on now. Jesus Christ. Oh, I know all about it. He said, I go to chapel every week, but I don't take it home with me like you. Yeah, this is it, isn't it? You don't take it home with me. You don't take it home with you. Then another fella, Ted, he'd been a hypocrite, a religious hypocrite for years and years and years. And I'm convinced he'd soundly then been converted. But I believe he walked to heaven backwards. He walked to heaven looking at his sin, the trail of destruction that he'd left behind. Instead of fixing his eyes on the prize, he walked backwards towards the Lord Jesus Christ in glory, and he just focused on this spiritual slime that he'd left behind. Are you like either one of them? Yeah, forgive him, but there's no joy because you keep looking at all your failures, or far more likely you're like the other guy. Ed, you know, you go to church and it's all right, and you enjoy, like Bunyan did, enjoy, but no sense of your sin, no sense of the miracle that you've been forgiven. See, when you see your sin, this text is terrific, man. He forgave us all of our sins. See, I put something on Facebook this week. My mind went back to a conversation I had with a guy well in his 60s who said to me, shocked me really, by saying, oh, I'm going to be baptized. Why? I said, well, I don't want to go to hell and the pastor's willing to baptize me. So I said, hang on now, let's talk here then. 60 odd years of accumulated sin, you are saying has been forgiven. And you don't seem to bat an eyelid. It's not a big deal. And he was silent, unfazed. He went through the baptism. People put on Facebook, you know, this is a great day in our church. We baptized and so on. He didn't last 5 minutes. He was in church for a few more weeks and that was it. Why? Nothing had happened. He should never have been baptized because his sin was not forgiven. There was a rabbi in Lampeter University years ago and he was very scathing about Jesus. I totally reject him. Do you know why? Because he set himself above the prophets and proclaimed forgiveness. Thank God he did. That's what I say. That's my answer to that. Praise the Lord. He proclaimed forgiveness because only he can do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. Some years ago, a long time ago now, actually, in Swansea University, one night, I went down there to preach, and they had a cardboard testimony thing. I'd never seen it before. Only seen it that one night, where they had five or six people come on the platform. They had a huge sheet of cardboard. On one side was written what they were, like proud Pat or something, and then they turned it around, humbled by Jesus or something like that, you know, something like that. I thought, yeah, every Christian can say something like this. You know, whether you're greedy, Gary, slutty, Sally, whoever you are, you know, violent, Viv, you know, all my sin has been forgiven. When, you know, when in the 90s, Paul Gascoigne, the footballer, thumped his wife, and it was all over the papers, and then the England football manager, Glenn Hoddle, announced publicly, I forgive Paul. I forgive Gaza for thumping his wife. But he didn't thump you, did he? It's easy for you to sit there and say, well, I forgive him. Yeah, but you weren't bleeding in the hotel room, were you? But wonderfully, because all my sin against you is also against him. And my sin that goes on in my head here is against him. And wonderfully, if we confess our sins to him, not only can he forgive me, he will forgive me. There was an author years ago, Margarita Lasky. She was a contributor of over 250,000 quotes to the Oxford English Dictionary. Very impressive. Atheist, died in 1988. But she said this, passionate atheist, but she said, I envy the Christians this one thing. I haven't got anybody to forgive me. Have you? Have you got somebody to forgive you? Are you forgiven? We're back to the double jeopardy. God cannot twice demand payment for sin. If Jesus paid the price of my sin, I'm free. Free. But if Jesus did not pay the price for my sin, then I'm going to have to pay myself, and I can't pay, which means I'm going to be locked up in hell forever and ever and ever, trying to pay, but not succeeding. You know, this is tremendous, man, to be forgiven all your sins. God is faithful and just. If we confess our sin, to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I mentioned those people at the start on their deathbed. What will you be like on your deathbed? Will you be sure? Won't be long. Home now. Home in the arms of Jesus. Or will you be like some of those famous atheistic people? Lord, have mercy. Amen.